Do you want to be better in business or life? Do you want to be able to execute and succeed? You must have a positive mindset. You must believe and stay focused. Do you know what it takes? It takes fuel. Welcome to Fuel Your Drive.
Welcome to Fuel Your Drive. I'm your host, Josh York. And guys, today we have a superstar coming on the show. Someone who is extremely successful in the real estate world, has built a multi-million dollar empire, has suffered from extreme poverty, from living in a trailer to living in a bathroom with his father for a year. Never went to college. And let me tell you something. You know I love the grind. This man knows what the grind is about. He's an author of 6 books, has sold way over 1 million copies, becoming a New York Times bestseller multiple times. Recently launched a business blueprint with his good friend, Tony Robbins, who I personally happen to have a lot more energy than, and it had the biggest launch in internet history. So guys, listen up. If you're driving, pull over. If you're sitting down, stand up. If you're laying down, sit up. What I'm trying to say is get ready and get up and welcome my man, Dean Graziosi. Welcome to Fuel Your Drive.
Good to be here, man. I love your energy. Love your enthusiasm.
Listen, that's what we do. But listen, before we start, the most important question I got to ask you, Dean, because I'm just admiring it. Now, are you using like a can of gel a day through the hair? Are we talking like hairspray? What kind of product are you using in the hair? Because I'm loving it. You look awesome.
Well, it's a little of both. Little gel, little hairspray. I've been kind of doing it the same way for about 30 years. So, you know.
Looks fantastic, man. Looks fantastic. Well, listen, I want to jump right into it because you and we are very alike in many, many ways. Okay. But first thing I want to talk about, we're going to talk about the new book. I want to talk about Tony and you launching, you know, the Blueprint 2.0. We want to get into that because that's exciting. But let's first talk about the most important thing here. I want to get into education, the education system. I want to touch on it because my wife personally hates when I say this, but I know you're going to agree with me. You know, if I would have done it all over, I would have never went to school. Okay. I would have started my business at a younger age. Today, we're running the fastest growing fitness brand in the world. But I always think, where could we have been if I've started this 10 years before and I'm already 12 years in? So let's talk about that because I know you're going to have a lot to say about it.
Yeah. So the best example to start with that is I have 2 children, 1 on the way. So, but I have a daughter who's going to be 13 next week and I have a son that's going to be 11 in 3 weeks. And I told both of them, so this is just something talking about somebody else or someone else's family. I told both my kids, the fact of the matter is I hope they don't go to school. I hope they don't go to college. If my daughter wants to do it for a couple of years or a year just to experience it, that's great. But the truth is, and this is going to bug a lot of people, I don't want her to waste her time. The education system is broken. It's antiquated, not teachers. So if you're listening right now and you're a teacher or your wife's a teacher, your husband's a teacher, this is not the teacher's fault. Teachers do the best they can, but they're in a flawed model. It's like trying to run a new company off of AOL and dial up modem. If you look at the education system compared to anything else, right? Think about this. If we went back and grabbed somebody from 1915 and brought them in today's world and said, look what we have. And you showed them a phone. They went, oh my God, on this little thing, I could get maps and pictures and navigation and everything in history and spell check. Oh my God. And then if you come in and saw planes flying over, it'd be like, oh my God. And then if you took them to a classroom, they'd look around, they'd hear what's being taught and they'd say, wow, the blackboard's now a whiteboard. Nothing has evolved. We're not keeping up with the evolution of life. So let me just, before we get into all of it, and it's not just stats of some guy that I'm anti-school because I didn't go to college. The stats speak for themselves. Only about 27% of kids who graduate from college actually get a job in that field, and 52% of them hate the job they're in. So like, think about that. $1.5 trillion in college debt. And there's a whole new generation of angst and anxiety because they can't pay off the debt and they go work at Starbucks because we're not preparing people with specialized knowledge. And you know this, I pay for speed, you pay for speed. So let me get back to my kids. Do you know this is personal? And what I say to my kids is I don't just go, oh, college is bad, you can't go. What I say is very logical. For example, my daughter right now loves fashion, right? I shouldn't say fashion, she loves design. Has a really great eye. She comes down to my office and moves things around and does like amazing eye for design. So I said, what if you wanted to be an interior designer someday, Bree? She's like, oh, that sounds great. I don't know if I want to do that yet, but that would be cool. I said, okay, let me give you an example. If you go to school, you take the traditional path, take 4 years to get a business and marketing degree and maybe specialize in design, maybe another year or two in design. Then you go work for someone else as maybe an intern. And then you work your way up through the ranks. And maybe in 10 years, you start your own interior design. Or we find the top five best interior designers in the country. And you sit down and you write an incredible letter to all five. And you offer to work for them for free for a year. You will be their best employee they've ever had. And you will be free. And you go spend a year with the best interior designer on the planet. You extract their knowledge. You give them massive service. You deliver so much value. They can't wait to talk to you. And you condense decades into days. And you start off where they left off. That means in 18 months from you graduating high school, you could be in an interior design business with the knowledge of someone who's the best on the planet. That's the difference, babe. If you want to go to college for the experience, great. And my kids are now weighing that because the world is knowing this too, that specialized knowledge, learning from someone who's already been there, learning from a non-professional teacher who's doing it is way more impactful than learning from a professional teacher stuck in handcuffs and boundaries in a classroom. Sorry, that's my rant. I'm a little passionate about this, so, you know, I don't mind talking about it.
Listen, I'm passionate about it as well. First of all, congratulations on the new baby on the way. That's very exciting. So congratulations. And I know you just got married. Congratulations on that as well. Look, spot on. You know, it's like, and again, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong perception here of that, you know, teachers are bad and all that because they're not. But like, I remember personally, I had to take like an elective. I took music. Dean, it was the hardest class I ever took in my life. Like this guy took it so seriously and I ended up passing just I got a D. I almost failed the class. Or taking calculus and knowing derivatives and all this other crazy stuff. That has nothing to do with my business. How about teaching someone how to build a relationship? How about networking and connecting with the right people? How about marketing or how do you hire someone if you want to go into business? Or about emotional intelligence? Yes.
Yeah, the art of persuasion. Get somebody to say yes, right?
100%. And it's crazy because you see all these people and it's so funny because the majority of people that go to school for whatever they're majoring in, they don't even end up doing it. Like you said, they're at a Starbucks. So I know someone who literally has been working at this, you know, local food place for almost 2 years. They still can't figure out what they want to do and they're in a ton of debt. So, you know, couldn't agree with you more. And it's just a shame that they don't start making those changes because just like you just touched on with your daughter, she surrounds herself with the right people. She would be the best designer in the world if she absorbed that. And this way you're doing it for free. They're getting benefit from it. You're not going in debt and you're learning.
Yeah, it's a win for everybody. I mean, listen, I've shared this before, but I think it's really relevant here. Where'd you grow up? Where in New York are you from?
I grew up in Long Island.
Long Island. Yeah, I can tell. All my family's from, my father was born in Hicksville.
Our office, our headquarters is in Plainview.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, so I recognize a couple of the words you said. It sounds like my father says it the same way. So, but here's the thing. I went to school in upstate New York. And when I was not going to go to college, I decided not to take my SATs. I remember my guidance counselor sitting down with me and saying, wow, so definitely not college. And I knew I wasn't cut out for it. And for me, I didn't think I had a choice financially. And I didn't think I was smart enough. I had dyslexia and I just couldn't wait to get out of school. It was pain every day. And I just wanted to go to work. I just wanted to hustle. I wanted to get things done. Right. So I sat down with her and I remember saying, oh, so no college. It was like college was like, perfection, life, house, fence, wife, kids, dog. Like that's what it seemed like. And then no college was, oh, okay, well, the only factory in my town was hiring at minimum wage. And my dad owned a collision shop that, to be honest, I love my dad, but it never made a lot of money. So it was either, okay, if you're not going to college and you could apply at that only factory, or maybe you could fix cars with your dad. And you seem like you're good with your hands. Like that was it. It was like college or my life is screwed. There was no center aisle. And the center aisle to me that I'm so blessed that I discovered and you discovered too, and so much of the world, and now the world is discovering him even faster, is self-education, learning from other people. I started finding some mentors in my little town. A couple of older guys became dear friends, and I realized they had different habits than my dad and other people had. They seemed to be happier. They seemed to make more money, so I started doing more of what they did. And then I bought Tony Robbins' course and off of an infomercial, and that information changed my life. And then I met Wayne Dyer and Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra and all these great influencers who influenced my life, and Dale Carnegie and Earl Nightingale. And then I started reading books like books like Phil Knight's Shoe Dog. I obsessed, and I became obsessed with self-education, and I got in workshops and I got in masterminds, and I realized the whole world is missing out. You're going to get general knowledge from college. Napoleon Hill said it in 1937 in Think and Grow Rich. General knowledge. Now, how vast and how wide general knowledge to paraphrase, will never take you anywhere. It's those who gain specialized knowledge that go to the next level. He said it in 1937, but here's the cool part. And while I'm so excited to be alive right now and write books and do masterminds and teach with my buddy Tony Robbins, is the world is finally realizing. The knowledge industry right now is a $455 million a day industry, and Forbes just said it's heading to $1 billion a day. So people are saying 6 years of college or a workshop over the weekend with someone who's been doing it for 20 years. I think I'm going to go to the workshop, right? Colleges better shift their perspective. They better step up their game, because within 5 or 10 years, they could be going extinct really fast.
I agree. Look, you could almost give yourself a full education listening to 3-4 podcasts a day. You will get more value out of that than sitting in the classroom. I used to sit in a classroom and stare and daydream and think about other things. I never paid attention. I can't sit still. I have the worst ADD you could ever imagine in your life. I got to move all the time. And I don't drink coffee. I'm always on the run. So for me, it was like I'm locked in a cage, and so many other people are like that as well. And kind of segueing from that, you know, I know your new book's coming out, which is, I love the title, Underdog Advantage, because it is literally spot on, my friend. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, what kind of got you into getting that together?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Here's what I thought about. So I teach people success. I've been doing it for 20 years. And I realized that success is never attainable. And you know this, man. You wouldn't have one of the fastest growing businesses in your industry if you didn't already realize that you could give someone all the tactics. You could give someone the blueprint. Heck, you could give somebody a business on how to sell $20 bills for 10 bucks. And without the right habits or mindset, they'll screw it up. You've already seen it in great employees. You've seen it in probably potential partners in your life. You've seen it in friends. Like, tactics and the tool is never enough. So I wrote my last book, Millionaire Success Habits. I wanted to go upstream and help people with the habits that allowed me to be successful when I cut firewood in high school, or I fixed cars, and then I went into the collision business. Then I started doing houses and apartments and subdividing raw land. Then I started writing books and doing seminars and events and courses and training. How the hell do you become successful? I failed miserably in between there, by the way. So no matter where you are in your life, I promise you, I've been there. I've been broken and broke, failed miserably, sleepless nights, and I've had great success. So I've been everywhere, just like you have. But what I realized is what shifted my life wasn't the magical money machine. It was having the right habits that I could fuel an opportunity the right way. And again, you already know that intuitively. But then I started thinking, now that I gave people the habits, the one thing that everybody has in common, I was just on stage 3 days ago in front of 6,500 women all in business. And I said, who in this room at one time or another, or right now currently feels like an underdog? A whole audience raised their hand, right? Everybody feels, I don't live in the right area. I wasn't born under a lucky star. I don't have enough money. I don't have a good partner. I don't have a wife that supports me. My parents were really mean to me. I never had love in my life. No one ever taught me about business. Like, we all, and that's not making fun of anybody, just we all feel in one way or another we're an underdog. But if you look throughout history, from Phil Knight sitting behind you, that book sitting behind you on the shelf, one of my favorite books of all time, from Phil Knight to George Washington to John Paul DeJoria, who started Patron Tequila, and Vidal Sassoon, to Richard Branson, to everybody you could possibly think of, most every successful journey, every successful billionaire I know, they were all underdogs. And what's the difference? Being an underdog for the majority of the world means you're carrying around an anchor across the desert and it holds you back. And at the end of your life, you feel like you missed out. And that's tough. No one wants to feel like they missed out. Why do these select group of people know how to take those disadvantages and actually make them rocket fuel, actually make it their superpower? They became successful because they were an underdog, became successful because they didn't have resources. They became successful because people never saw them coming. They became successful because people always told them they can't. How do some people turn that into, oh yeah, you tell me I can't, watch me go. Yep. You want to tell me I don't have resources? I don't care because I'm resourceful as shit. Like, how do you turn that? And how do these people go on and become amazing? And that's what I obsessed on. And I wanted to give someone the book here. I'm so excited that it's coming out. My sixth book, my last book was one of the best-selling books the last couple of years. I think this one's going to blow it away because everybody feels like an underdog. And by the time you're done reading this book, you're going to realize that is your gift from God or whatever you believe in. And when you recognize it that way, what you thought was a lead anchor is actually the wind behind your sail. It's a tool to take you to the whole next level of life. And what if being an underdog was actually designed for you to give you the grit, to give you the passion, to give you the desire, to give you the resources to be the best of the best? And that's what I think this book's going to do for people. That's why I'm so stoked.
I love it. I love it. Look, I always say business is 80% mindset, and everyone's going to have losses. You got to look at your losses as lessons. That's extremely important. And the reason I really love this book, and I'm going to read it myself just because I love reading books. If I get one nugget out of it, it's worth it. But at the end of the day, people don't have the ability sometimes to really put their mindset into it when someone throws something their way. And, you know, they look at it like, oh, I guess that person's right. Like, I have a holiday. I don't know if you heard of it. It's on August 1st. It's called National Swiss Cheese Day. So back in the day, before I actually started this business and I came up with the concept, I used to just be a trainer, you know, but obviously I always thought about scaling in the big picture. And I told this guy who was self-made billionaire, Dean, this guy was so successful, had nothing, literally nothing. And he laughed in my face and told me the business was like Swiss cheese. It's got too many holes in it and it'll never succeed. So I left there, obviously upset, but my mindset is as tough as it gets. Like, it's 23 degrees in New York, and I was in an ice bath this morning. That was literally 30 degrees. I do that every single day. I like to do things that other people won't do because I'm going to have things other people won't have. But this ties into the book so much because what did I do? I said, he'll see. 7 years later, I'm on the front page of New York Times. It says disrupting the fitness industry. He sees it. Then he flips the script, Dean. He calls me up, and he's like, oh, I believed in you so much. I was like, what are you talking about? His name's Bobby. I say, Bobby, yeah, you come on. So every year, what I do is I send him a video, FaceTime. I get a half a pound of Swiss cheese. I don't even eat it, but I just use that as a little bit of a nice driver to keep driving and driving. But people need to listen and definitely pick up Dean's book and understand that everyone's an underdog. Dean used to be just Dean back in the day. Josh used to be just Josh. And obviously, as you grow and scale, you become more and you evolve and you grow, but it takes time and it takes patience, right?
Listen, and first off, I love hearing your story. And I love the story of an underdog. I have to tell you, I don't know about you, but when I watch movies like Rudy or Rocky or Seabiscuit, and I'm bawling at the end. Like, I literally cry at when Seabiscuit's winning the last race, Rocky wins the fight, when they're carrying Rudy off the field and the only person ever carried off the field. I'm literally crying because I love the underdog story. Because here's the thing. Like, think of some of these chapters in your own life. Underdogs have nothing to lose. Think about that. Like, I get goosebumps talking about this, man, because you know what it feels like when people count you out, when people underestimate you, when people think you got no fucking shot. Like, those things to some people make you go, oh, maybe I don't have a shot. To me, it's like, you're going to tell me that my business has holes. You're going to tell me this thing's never going to work out. Now you just fueled me. You just gave me another reason to win. But why do I have that mindset? And why do you have it where a lot of people don't? And I don't think you're born with it. And that's why I wrote this book, to give you the tools to flip it. Imagine every time someone told you you couldn't, it actually filled you up so much that you knew you must, right? So that's the kind of, so listen to some of these chapters. Underdogs have nothing to lose. We don't. We had nothing in the first place. So you can go after it harder. That's why underdogs win. Underdogs can use the power of you can't, right? How many times have people said to you, man, you're a dreamer. You're really going to own the fitness industry? There's freaking a million people in the fitness industry. What's different with you? A New York guy? You think you're like, most people go, yeah, maybe not. Where you were like, yeah, wait till you see me, right? Underdogs can act fast, improve quickly. Underdogs are relentlessly resourceful. I love this. I love all these chapters. It's one of my favorite book I've ever written. But think about this. You have kids yet or no?
I do. I have two kids, yes.
Okay. So what are their names?
Jake and Mikey. Jake's 5 and Mikey is 1.5.
That's awesome, dude. Congratulations. Being a dad, there's better than that, man.
With all the best feeling in the world. Best feeling in the world. Crazy in my house, but the best.
Yeah. So let me ask you something, because it becomes personal for your two boys. If you could leave your two boys one of two things, $5 million to start any business they wanted when they were older, right? They had to start a business, and here's $5 million. Because everybody, a lot of people even listening are thinking right now, man, if somebody gave me $5 million or gave me $1 million, I could be a billionaire. I could start the company. I could build the book. Like, everybody's thinking, if I had a partner to give me money or somebody believed in me. And it's such flawed thinking, because now in retrospect, because I never had money and no one gave me shit and I didn't know how, it was my blessing from God, the universe, whatever you believe. Because here's what I know. With your boys, would you rather leave them $5 million to start any business, or you had to leave them as the most resourceful two boys that ever existed on the planet? Would you rather have them having $5 million or being resourceful as hell?
Of course, man. Resourceful, because the money... You could burn through money. And if you don't know what you're doing with the money, you could listen. Look, I've made a lot of bad decisions and mistakes, but I don't care. There's one direction I look, and it's the same direction you look, and that's forward. I don't look backwards. I keep moving. But when someone's resourceful, of course, that makes sense, because they're going to have the knowledge to be able to do it on their own. I started this with $15,000, Dean, bootstrapped. You don't need anything. You just need the mindset, the mentality, and you need to never take no for an answer.
Okay, so listen, So I love talking to a quintessential underdog, because here's the thing. When you're not, listen, this is why underdogs make it. And this is why I want to share with anybody and everybody who thinks they're an underdog. When you're an underdog, I had, listen, when I started my business, the same as you, you started with 15 grand. Did you have anybody that could have bailed you out if you failed? I did.
No.
Okay.
No.
Did you go to Silicon Valley and raise $100 million to try to blow through?
No.
No. Right? Did you have a dad leave you a trust fund that every time you screw up, you could just go grab money out of the trust fund? No. So what happens by being an underdog, same with me, every business I ever started, even my firewood business, my car business, my online business, my education business, I didn't have shit. I had to be resourceful. And guess what? I had to make my company's cash flow within a few weeks, maybe a few months max. I was done, over. I couldn't go tap the thing and said, oh, let's do a B round and let's raise another 25 million. I didn't even know what the hell that meant, right? So the thing is, what you're thinking as a disadvantage, my companies are cash. Tony Robbins and I started another company a year from the week one. We were massively profitable, not because just because of our history, not because of anything other than it's the only way I know how to do things, because I'm resourceful of saying, I don't want to use our money. Let's make a business successful because it's a business. I mean, there's this new thing. Everybody wants just to raise money and hope to sell. How many of those companies don't go anywhere and just waste people's time because there's too much privilege and not enough resourcefulness? There's too many resources. So like, if you look at it, your lack of resources is actually your gift, but you got to know how. And in the book, I go through a personal example, other people's example, and then I give a process at the end of each chapter to implement and anchor this into your life so it's not just a good read. The next one is, underdogs don't have to care what other people think. And I love this one. Underdogs turn desperation into persuasion. Because you have to prove to your wife, honey, I know you think this is crazy, but I'm going after this and I need you with me. You know how to persuade your husband, your wife, your family, your friends, people to invest in your company. You have to persuade employees sometimes to come to work at half of what they would make someplace else because you have a bigger future. You have to persuade people to buy your supplements, work out at your gym. And why do we do that? Because we have desperation on the side of us. Like for me, I literally lived in a trailer park. I lived in my dad's bathroom with him when we had no heat in the house. Like I ain't going back there. I don't know about you, man. I am never going back to broke. I'm never going back to wearing hand-me-downs. I'm not going to go back and have my kids, you know, go through the shit I did when sometimes there wasn't even food in the refrigerator. That's an inner desperation, man, that no one is going to take out of my heart. And it turns into passion. It turns into persuasion. So these are just some of the chapters, but I want to show people that, man, you got a toolbox full of tools to transform your life, and you think it's a bunch of crappy tools.
I love it. I love it. Look, I always say you got to be a good leader is a good actor. Because I remember, look, when I started my business, Dean, I was in my parents' dining room, okay? And first of all, if I ever listened to my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, I would never be where I am today because she told me, do not leave the dining room. Don't get an office. You know, my father's walking around in his underwear and I'm trying to interview someone. Come on, you know, like that's not professional. But you got to always be excited and fired up. And I always say when the walls are burning down, right? And this relates right to the book. When the walls are burning down, you still got to be excited because if your team feels that energy, any type of negative energy, they're not going to believe in you anymore.
Yep. True story. True story. Like, I hope when you're listening today, you know, take what serves you, throw the rest away. I'm here to serve. That's why I'm on this podcast right now and talking to you, man. I just want to help. I wish there was more people around when I was younger. There was no iTunes and there was no podcast or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. Man, I had to learn through books and I hated to read back then or through an infomercial. That's how I found Tony Robbins. So I love talking about self-education. I love sharing. Wait, what was the last thing you said? Oh, yeah. You said if the walls are burning down. This is something I hope you take away from today. One of the things is the biggest sales job you have to do, person you have to persuade the most in your life on a daily basis is you, because you're going to have self-doubt. People are going to tell you it's the wrong time, wrong economy, that your idea sucks, that you're a dreamer, that you need to get real, you need to go take that job. All of those things are going to happen every day. And if you're not in the right space, if you're not selling yourself, if you're not realizing they're wrong, that they don't make statues of critics, if you don't feel that way every day, one of those days you're going to go, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe I should play small. Maybe I should stay in the living room. Maybe I should go get the job. Through that. At the end of our lives, you don't want to look back at 100 years old and be like, oh, I'm so glad I played it safe. I'm so glad I had a good life. Screw good. Like, we got one life. This is why I love streaming from mountaintops. I'm not saying you're going to be rich overnight and everything's going to be easy. It is brutal. I guarantee in your evolution of building your amazing company, things went sideways. People didn't doubt you. There was times you went home sick to your stomach going, I don't even know if I can keep the doors open. but it's all worth it at the end because I live life on my terms. You get to live life on your terms. I'm raising my children the way I want to raise them. I live life the way I want to, and there's no price in the world you could put on that.
Listen, spot on. And look, I still get pain to this day. Pain is going to be forever. You're always going to have issues. Look, in business, you always have to expect the unexpected. That's it. But at the end of the day, this too shall pass. And just like Dean just said, the underdogs will always win if you have that ability to really push through and stick with it and stick with it, you know. But I want to shift now a little bit. And look, I saw it. I saw it all over the place. My friends were talking about it. It was all over the place. You had the biggest launch in internet history launching your blueprint. Like, come on, Dean, talk to me about it. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know what? Listen, I've been in this I've been an entrepreneur for over 30 years, but I've been in the self-education business for 22. Tony's been in for 40 years. So we do have 60 years combined. And we're both at a place in our lives right now where it's all about impact. We want to give people the tools that we wish we had, right? And it's really cool for me. I'll just be honest on a personal note. Tony changed my life. 25 years ago, I wrote in my journal that someday I want to meet him and thank him. We got the chance to meet and we were going to spend a half hour together. We spent the whole day together and we've been dear friends ever since. So for the last 8-10 years, we've been talking about what can we do together to really make an impact? And then we go on and just be friends. And then about a year ago, we decided, let's make self-education, specialized knowledge, everything we talked about today, how do we help make it the new norm? So we wanted to create a blueprint to help everyone with knowledge, a skill, an expertise, even a passion, to extract it and share it and help other people. So I used that analogy before about the interior designer. How do we take every interior designer who's got a great skill, who's been doing it, to not only just do it for herself or himself, how do we get them to extract that knowledge and share it with people who are just starting off? And if we can make that the new norm, that's how we change the world. So that's what we did. We decided, we spent a year and lots of money, lots of time, lots of effort. We created a blueprint to help people help people enter the knowledge industry. If you're an accountant for 5 years, there's a lot of accountants starting on day one, man. They could use you to condense 5 years into a weekend and show them where to start off rather than making all the mistakes they have, right? In your industry, think of all you've learned. Imagine it. Let me just ask you this. What would it be worth to you right now? This is a great way to look at the knowledge industry. And people go, I don't know if I have anything to share. BS. Everybody does. Think about right now, and everybody listening right now, thinking the same thing. If you could go back 5 years, 10 years, your 10-year-old younger self, how old are you now?
Right now, I'm 36.
Okay. If you could go back, let's go even back further. If you could go spend one day with your 20-year-old self, you can condense the last 16 years, all the failures that you would avoid, all the great accomplishments that you would have fueled even harder, personal relationships, income, running a business, being in the fitness world, all those things. If you could take the last 16 years and condense the best of the best and overcoming the worst in one day, what would it be worth to you to go spend that day with your 20-year-old self?
Listen, it's funny you say this because I think this thing of mine all the time. You can't put a price on it because,
right?
Look, when you are an underdog, not to shift here, but I want to just kind of, yeah, you know, tie this in because it makes sense. But when you are an underdog, and I used to reach out to people and no one would give me the time of day. I just get door slammed in my face and the phone hung up on all the time. But I just never stop. I never take no for an answer, ever. There's always a way. You just got to get the job done. And when we finish this, because I can't really talk about it too much, you and I are going to talk about this because this is a crazy story, Dean, that you're going to love. And I have more of it, but I'm going to tell you this story after. But literally, when you're going through all these different things, you know, and no one wants to listen to you, if you could just sit down and talk to yourself in the past and be able to, here's what's going to happen. I'm not going to say that I would change some of the things that have happened because they've taught me a lot of lessons. But if you were actually to have a better map, like a roadmap of which direction you have to go, you are just going to be so lucky. And that's what you're allowing right now, which is so helpful.
Dude, you hit the nail on the head. Think about if you go back to your younger self. Well, that's what the self-education industry is. I don't care if you cut hair, you run a fitness world, you're in marketing, yep, you're in sales, you teach fly fishing. We have every niche that you could possibly imagine. We have people helping people through divorce, helping kids of divorce, helping men to be more confident, helping women to feel more sexy after they have a baby. Like every niche you could imagine, there are people who've been doing it for a little bit longer. And there's somebody just starting out, right? So there's somebody just entering the fitness world, someone just entering being an accountant, and they're going to spend 5, 10, 20 years trying to figure out what already lives in your head. Just most people are unconscious competence. So what we did is created a process to extract that knowledge, figure out what you're good at, figure out your superpower, then how to attract the exact person that needs that. And we could do that all through Facebook, social media, Instagram, YouTube, attract that, and then provide a workshop, a mastermind, a Zoom call. Technology's changed the world. So what we did was showed the world that they could enter this industry, the knowledge industry, that's heading towards $1 billion a day, as Forbes says, one of the fastest growing industries in the world. And we said, let's put it out there. Let's see if the world's ready for it. And it was unbelievable, unlike anything we ever thought. Like, if you saw it, it was everywhere, all over like anywhere you looked, you saw the knowledge business blueprint, the knowledge broker blueprint, and Tony and I, because the world was ready for this. And I feel so honored. We have over 20,000 people strong. It's become a movement. We're going live again here soon. So this is going to become my next 20 years, because someday when I pass away, my legacy will be that we didn't just help educate people. We helped become and create new educators, and those educators fixed a broken education system.
It's amazing. And honestly, what this is like, this is better than a college class. It's better than a college education, because you're getting everything that you need through experience. Look, Dean, I remember this like this was yesterday. I remember I sat in this class that I actually failed twice. This professor did not like me. It was a crazy thing. I ended up getting fired. It's a long story. But anyway, the guy was telling me that I was never going to be successful. And I remember that day, because I always would think in my mind, like, this guy's trying to teach me how to be successful. I want to see his bank account. I'll never forget the day. Dean, I'm watching this guy drive away out of the parking lot in a beat up car with literally rope around the door. I'll never forget it. And I never forget the day I called up my father. I was like, Dad, I was like, I'm at school, right? Like, I'm learning. Supposedly I'm learning. How am I taking a class with a professor that doesn't even have money to afford a car, that has doors actually closing? Meanwhile, you're launching something that's even smarter, that's allowing for people to get all this education. I still can't comprehend that to this day. And people are still doing the same things over and over again. Just like when you want to be successful, people, 75% of them stop before the miracle actually happens. Why don't you make it to the finish line? Make it to the finish line. Get to the end. It's not hard to get there. Just push. Right?
Yeah. Now, and here's the thing, though. I think we've been programmed since the Industrial Revolution, high school, get good grades, college, get good grades, go apply for the job and hope you get accepted. It's been programmed. So there's so many of us kind of in a hypnotic rhythm, and the world is finally realizing, like, I'm getting out of this line. This line sucks. I'm not going to do what everybody else did. I'm not going to learn from a professor. And again, not knocking teachers, because there's some incredible professors. There's also shitty professors. That's just the way the world works, right? But I felt the same way. Listen, dude, we couldn't be more aligned. And I could feel if we get a chance to connect outside of this, it'd be cool, because I remember Mrs. Thompson, one of my teachers growing up, and I didn't go to college, but she was a middle school teacher. And literally every day I had dyslexia and I'd try to read. And she's like, just sound it out. Are you stupid? You're never going to amount to anything. You don't study. You don't do your homework. Like, nonstop. And I remember years later passing Miss Thompson in her old Ford Escort. And I was like, excuse my language. And I'm not, this isn't teachers. This is her. She made me cry many times. I remember saying, like, that's the bitch that made me cry. Made me feel bad about myself, when maybe she was just miserable in her own life and she took it out on kids. Where I also had teachers like Mr. Trapani and Mr. Bozzo that were, oh my God, made me feel like a great human being and told me I'd amount to anything I wanted and don't worry about my grades, that I'd be a great guy. So this isn't about teachers. It's just about that feeling. And here's the sad, man, and one of the reasons I wrote this book, Underdog Advantage, that Miss Thompson, that jackass teacher that had his door roped together for you, you know how many kids they negatively affected that said, yeah, I am stupid. Yeah, I never will make it anything. And that shit pisses me off so much that I have a burning desire to let the world be self-educated, to see that you are being judged by an outdated scorecard. You are working on your weaknesses. One of the greatest lessons I've learned, and I bet you would agree with me, is screw your weaknesses. Don't even try to get good at them. Just get amazing at what you're already good at and pay someone to do the things you suck at.
Dean, you and I are so alike, man. It's crazy. You're mind-blowing me. But I tell people all the time, the stupidest thing you could ever do is focus on your weaknesses. Why would you do that? I had someone recently tell me, you know, they were talking to me about, you know, they're trying to build their business and they're just the finances, not them. And they're trying and they lost a lot of money and they can't put together good P&Ls and projections and cash flow analysis and everything. I said, so find somebody who's good. He's like, yeah, well, I don't want to spend the money. I was like, you're going to spend a lot more money than the amount of money you're going to lose. What are you good at? Like, I know where I'm good, and that's where I park, and that's where I rock and roll. Everything else I delegate. You can't do anything alone. And when you put all your time and effort into something that you're not good at, you're wasting your time, you know? And I think a good nugget to take away from this, because you and I are rocking with this, you have two types of mindsets. You have a fixed mindset, and you have a growth mindset. You and I have a growth mindset. Everyone else in the world really needs a growth mindset. When you have the fixed mindset, you're not going to go anywhere because you're literally brainwashed from whether it's your family, your teachers. You are that underdog. And if you feed into that nasty, disgusting disease of being an underdog and staying an underdog, you're going to lose. If you want to win, you have to grow and put yourself in uncomfortable situations, because when you put yourself in uncomfortable situations, good theme. Look, I keynote too. I do a lot of it. You obviously have done a lot more than me. But at the end of the day, I know you have suffered from anxiety before you've gone on stage at some point, because I have too. You've had to. And now you are more comfortable with it. But honestly, still to this day, I still get a little anxious. But you know what? That gets me jacked up. And as soon as I start going, I'm ready to rock and roll. People need to learn that. That's why, number one, you better pick up his book. Number two, you better get on with him and Tony, because if you're not, you're crazy. You're crazy. And one more thing I want to add in there before we ask another question. You're going to love this. So everyone has a type A and type B personality, right, Dean?
True.
Well, I've created another one, and I know you're with me. It's called type C. Crazy. Crazy in a good way. Crazy energy. Yeah. Crazy enthusiasm. Crazy passion. That's how you have to live your life, type C. But before we finish up this interview, I want one more question I got to ask you. Listen, I know we spent a lot of time talking about a lot of the great things you're doing, but I always like to end this interview, and you probably have never heard this before, but if you were conducting this interview, what question would you ask?
That's a really great question. I guess I would ask, is there one thing that allowed you to be successful? And I love to answer that, because I think, I don't know about if you felt this way, but I remember being young and broke, right? My family didn't have money. I don't think you came from money either, but my family didn't have money. And I remember seeing people that were like so-called millionaires. And I remember saying, God, if I have a minute with them, I'm going to ask them how they became successful. And it was such a naive question. It was like they were going to pull out this little box and open it up and like sunbeams and stars would shoot out. And it was like the magical answer to wealth. But then that's what I thought. And then as I got older, now that I do events and people get access and I love, when I meet someone, I have 2 minutes, they'll literally say to me, so how'd you get successful? And the answer is, I want to share something so practical. There is no one thing. You said it before, a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. All the things that you've heard forever, if you've studied any personal growth, if you've done any Napoleon Hill or Tony Robbins or any personal growth, so many times we're looking for the magical money machine. Oh, if I just got in the fitness business, I'd be rich. If I wrote books like Dean, I'd be rich. If I spoke on stages like Tony, I'd be rich. It's bullshit. It doesn't happen. You can give an A opportunity to a B player and it'll never work out. You can give a C opportunity to an A player and it'll work out every single time. And here's what I want to share. It's always the little thing. It's always the little habits. It's focusing on the solution. It's not listening to the naysayers. It's setting goals. All the stuff you think is boring is actually the stuff that makes you successful. It's not listening to other people's advice. Like all the stuff that like, oh, I've heard that. What is it? No, it's the stuff that you already heard that you dismissed. So if someone asks me my success and where it came from a lot of little things. Like picture a dam that's leaking and everybody's looking for the big gaping hole where all the water's coming through, when in fact, it's 100 little holes. And the more you read books, the more you get into personal growth, the more you get into masterminds and workshops and get other people's courses, the more podcasts you listen to, and you actually implement those things into your life, you start plugging all these little holes one at a time, and all of a sudden the dam is fixed and the water starts to fill, the reservoir fills up, and the reservoir filling up is your success, your abundance, your next level. It never happens overnight. But when you do Kaizen, progress every single day, there's one day you turn around and you have a successful fitness business, you have a successful marriage, you're a successful mother, father, and that's how it happens.
100%. I always say you got to be obsessed. You got to believe it. When you believe, whatever you believe, you can always make it happen. You can always achieve it, but you got to put it in your mind. But you got to also do everything that my man just said. Dean, you're spot on. So Dean, where can people find you? Where can they get the book? Where can they hook up with you and Tony? Let everybody know, because I'm sure everyone is literally chomping at the bit right now.
Yeah, so we set up a special link. If you can go to Amazon or you can go to deansbook.com. That's where you get Underdog Advantage. We set up a special opportunity where at deansbook.com, you can get the hardcover for free if you cover the shipping and handling. Or you can go to Amazon. I think it's $19 on Amazon. Either one is cool. But if you liked this interview, we only scratched the surface. Absolutely, positively, go get this book. If you know anything about me or you read any of my books, I write the way I talk. I write for impact. I don't write to try to impress anybody. I write so I move the needle in your life. So go to deansbook.com. And I think you and I, when Tony and I go live again, we're going to go live. Last time we went live, over 250,000 people showed up. We literally broke the internet. We're going live again in February. What I'm going to propose to you, let's get back on in January or February, and then we'll get everybody all pumped up and we'll get them to come watch Tony and I live.
I love it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Listen, Dean, thank you so much for jumping on. Thank you for giving out so many golden nuggets. Thank you for the beautiful head of hair you've got. Unbelievable. Listen, guys, until next time, take care. And thank you for listening to this episode of Fuel Your Drive.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, Fuel Your Drive. Please be sure to subscribe and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. And also, make sure you follow Gym Guys on Instagram. And of course, myself, Josh York GG. We're going to change the world. And we want to help you along the journey.